Good morning, everyone. It's strange, I'm sure, for many of us to be celebrating this feast of the Basilica of St. John Lateran. When most of us think of the Pope and the most important church in Roman Catholicism, quite often we think of St. Peter's. And while St. Peter's is important, the largest church in Christendom, where St. Peter is buried, the actual mother of all Christian churches is St. John Lateran. It is the Pope's cathedral. It's where his cathedra is. It is the mother of all churches, built very early, in about the year 323, by Constantine and others, right inside of the walls of Rome. Originally dedicated to Christ our Savior, and then over the years dedicated to John the Evangelist and John the Baptist. The church that you see now is not exactly the original church, but over the years it has been changed, developed, built on top of the old church, but still one of the four main basilicas in Rome. I'm sure if you've been on pilgrimage to Rome, you've had a chance to visit it. Of all the churches in Rome, St. John Lateran has a very special place for me because, as many of you know, I was blessed to spend 5 years studying theology in Rome. My last 2 years, I studied at the Lateran University, which is the university adjacent to the Lateran Basilica. So every day when I would go to class, sometimes I would leave early in order to celebrate Mass in the Basilica, to do my holy hour, or to spend time in the church looking at the beautiful mosaics, the different statues of the saints, and just sort of enjoying the way the Roman light in the morning would be cast into this cavernous church. And so it's a joy for me every year to be able to celebrate this feast, particularly when it falls on Sunday. But the truth is, for those who know about the Lateran Church or any other Roman church, is that these churches today are primarily tourist or pilgrimage destinations. People in the city of Rome, and these churches or others, don't really worship in these churches. They're not filled with people on weekdays or Sunday masses from the town or from the area worshiping the Lord and celebrating Mass. So often they've become like museums, tourists and pilgrims passing in and out, taking pictures and videos, and then going to eat their pasta or drink their cappuccino. Very little life, not just in these churches, but also in a lot of the beautiful cathedrals and basilicas all throughout Europe. But to a degree also in the United States. Many of you may have heard in the past couple of weeks, Cardinal Dolan had to shut down about 50 churches in the Archdiocese of New York, in New York City itself. Because the reality is, only something like 12% of Catholics actually attend Sunday Mass. People don't worship in the churches. They are not filled with life as they used to be. And the reasons are different, not only in the United States, but also in Europe, why people don't work. Lack of faith, shifting demographics, different economic factors. But the real big reason is the one that I want to look at today. Why our churches have become almost museums or houses for relics or tourist destinations. It's because, and this should be obvious to everyone, the rise of secularism in our culture. Secularism is that way of looking at the world, that religion and faith and the supernatural are something that should be relegated to the private realm, your own personal life. And really shouldn't have any bearing on the day-to-day affairs of an advanced technological society. And so, unlike 100 years ago, or 500 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, churches simply do not play the same role in a city, in a culture, in a society as they do today. Churches used to be the center of the city. It's where everyone put their economic resources, their time, to build this beautiful thing to give glory to God. Now, even though we live in a very secular culture, it doesn't mean that we still don't have our cathedrals. Cathedrals today are the sports stadiums, the shopping malls, the sacred spaces that people go to congregate and worship at their own altars. So with this rise of secularism and pushing religion off to the side, what's happened is we've lost a sense of the sacred. There are things in this world, places that are holy, that are set aside, that are not like other places where we can encounter God in a very special way. We've also lost the idea of sacred persons. There could be men or women, priests, religious, set aside not because they're better, but consecrated to God for the service of His will. And so this week we are celebrating National Vocations Awareness Week. And that's one of the challenges that we face in this so-called vocation crisis, is a lack of the understanding of the sacred. If people don't understand what it means to be a sacred person or what something is in a sacred place, then how can they feel compelled to respond to the Lord's call? But even more, as opposed to religion or not understanding the sacred, our culture is becoming more and more outright hostile to these things. So what do we do as the individuals here in southern Louisiana who still value our faith, who still think that churches are more than pilgrimage or tourist destinations? How can we evangelize this secular culture that has very little sense of the sacred? I'm sure there are a number of ways to do that. I'm going to go back to my time in Rome to give a story, or a type of a story, that I think holds one of the keys. When I was in Rome after my first or second year, besides being a student, I ended up becoming sort of a de facto pilgrimage leader, a tour guide. People would come in from the States, I'd get phone calls, "Father, can you show these people around?" Or, "Can you guide this tour group throughout the city of Rome, showing them St. Peter's and Lateran and the catacombs?" And because I pretty much got a free meal out of it and a couple glasses of wine, I said, "Yeah, let's go ahead and do it." And so I showed, literally during my time in Rome, hundreds of people around, if not thousands. Still, people come back and say, "Father, I remember the time that you took us through St. Peter's and we had dinner with you." And I say, "I don't know who you are." I don't tell them that, but it was so many people. And what always struck me in going through churches like St. John Lateran's, when people would walk in, particularly Americans who had never experienced things like this before, these magnificent, grandiose churches, is that they would often cry and be utterly overwhelmed by the scope of the church and the beauty of what was within it. And I can tell you, over my 5 years there, I witnessed a number of conversions. People coming back to the practice of their faith, people taking Christianity or even Catholicism seriously because of their encounter with the beauty of these churches. And that's the key. Not just the church as a beautiful place or structure, but the reality of beauty to be able to change people's hearts and to reveal the truth of God. I am not some romantic artist who believes that beauty will save the world, but I think it has a very important part to play in our secular culture. Cardinal Ratzinger, before he became Pope Benedict XVI, said that the most convincing demonstration of the truth of Christianity is beauty. Beauty and holiness. And I'm of the opinion that these two things must come together. We can build churches, we can make beautiful literature and film and art, and all of these things can strike at people's souls and make them begin to question the meaning of existence and come to see a truth that lies beyond logic, God revealing Himself in the beauty. But the most beautiful thing that we can create that is going to convince others of the truth of the gospel and the truth of Jesus is the beauty of holy lives. Not just the lives of the saints, but our lives. Lives well lived, lives dedicated to virtue, to goodness, to love, to faith, and reaching out to others and worshiping God. We allow the Lord's grace to transform us, that beauty is going to shine through. We've all encountered people like that, who've had profound impacts on our lives. Not just beautiful in the physical sense, but beautiful in the deep spiritual and human sense. Where we've said, I see God in that person, and that person makes me want to be better. A more devout Christian, a more faithful Catholic. As Pope Francis talks about, we have to have a faith that attracts other people. And the beauty attracts other people. Not specifically to the church, not specifically to us, but in the lives well lived. In the beauty of John the Lateran, Christ's beauty shines through us, touches hearts, touches minds, and changes lives and saves souls. Amen.